Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 John. 1 John. It's good to see everybody here this morning. As Brother Ray has already mentioned, we have several visitors with us, and we are certainly thankful for that. Thankful that you could be here this morning with us. I want to invite you to come back every opportunity. Come on in. Good to see everybody here this morning. We'll be in the book of 1 John this morning and Lord willing, even this evening. The book of 1 John. As we open the Word of God together this morning, we are reminded of the very nature of God's Word in Acts chapter 20, verse number 32, when the Apostle Paul says that it is able to build us up. I love studying God's Word because it does build us up spiritually speaking. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 18, the Word of God has a unique way of bringing comfort to the soul. We need to be built up and we need to be comforted. And that's why we study God's Word. That's why we open the Word of God like we're doing this morning. And we realize from Hebrews 4, verse number 12, that there is power in the Word of God. I love studying each book of the Bible, without question. I have the privilege, as you know, of teaching at Southwest in a small capacity, and I love teaching the Minor Prophets. It's probably one of my favorite courses. Going through the book of Hosea and Joel, Amos and Obadiah and Micah and Nahum, those books are so powerful. But if I had to choose one book that I was going to study, one book that I would turn to receive that comfort, to receive that encouragement, it would probably be the book of 1 John. I can remember years ago when I was struggling in my faith, just wanting to be stronger in my faith, just wanting to have a greater assurance. And I studied the book of 1 John, and it brought great assurance. It brought great comfort. We're not going to be able to read verse by verse the book of 1 John this morning and even this evening, but we're going to highlight some things from this great epistle that will bring comfort. It will bring joy. As the Apostle John writes to Christians, the Apostle John will tell us over and over again throughout this epistle why he is writing. And we'll focus on some of those things. But as you look at the book of 1 John, the Apostle John wants us to know what we can experience in being in fellowship with God. This particular epistle has to do with the fellowship that we have with God. And we'll see that in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3. The Apostle John, as he begins this epistle, he talks about, he highlights that fellowship that we have with God and with Jesus Christ. That's the fellowship that we need to be interested in. That's the fellowship that we need to focus on. Because as we focus on being right with God, being in fellowship with God, John will reveal what we experience. For example, we experience, verse number 4, eternal joy. What makes the Christian life so full of joy? From 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it's the fellowship that we have with God. That's what we experience when we are in fellowship with God. As you look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, what do we experience being in fellowship with God? We have the forgiveness of sins. The Apostle John says, "My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not." But he goes on to explain, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins." Not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. What we experience being in fellowship with God. We experience joy, happiness. We experience forgiveness. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse number 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Knowing that we have been forgiven of our past sins should cause us to be happy. Now as you stop and think about fellowship, as I said, John is writing to Christians. Fellowship with God begins when we obey the gospel. Our sins are washed away. As Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 11, you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified. Now the Apostle John is writing to those who've obeyed the gospel. They have fellowship with God, and John reminds them of what they experience, what they are continuing to experience being in fellowship with God. Again, we have joy. We have forgiveness. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse number 13. Read 1 John 2:13 with me. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known that you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. That's what we experience in being in fellowship with God. We overcome the wicked one, our enemy. I believe the Apostle John is talking about the devil. Before we were in fellowship with God, you know who owned us? You know who we belong to? The Bible makes it clear. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8, we belong to the devil. We were the servants of the devil. We were part of his dominion. But when we obey the gospel, according to Colossians 1, verse number 13, we are delivered from the power of darkness and we're translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We leave the domain of darkness and we become children of light. We become part of God's domain, citizens of God's kingdom, Philippians 3, verse 21. That's what we experience. We experience joy. We experience forgiveness. We experience victory. Now look at this last point with our introduction. Look at 1 John 5, verse number 13. 1 John 5, verse 13. John says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You might circle that word know. When you look at this particular word, just in the book of 1 John, the word know is found over 32 times. This isn't a very long book. 32 times John says, you can know, you can know. God wants us to know what we experience in being in fellowship with Him. And I just highlighted a few things. We have joy. We have forgiveness. We have victory. Notice this last one, 1 John 5, verse 13. What we experience in being in fellowship with God, we have assurance. Blessed assurance. Assurance of knowing that we belong to God, that we are children of God. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold what love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons, the children of God. That's what we experience. That's what we can know in being in fellowship with God. We are children of God. We have assurance of eternal salvation. In other words, when I'm in fellowship with God, I can know that I'm going to heaven. You know, people have asked me that question over the years. Let's be truthful. I've asked that question myself. Can I really know that I'm going to go to heaven? God says yes. Read the book of 1 John. You can know that you have eternal life. I don't know about you, but I need that assurance. I need that confidence as I'm going through this life, because I realize how difficult life is. I understand the uncertainty of life. Perhaps you've been reading the various stories on the news about those who lost their life in the tornado overnight. Their life was gone. I need to live with that assurance, that confidence because of the uncertainty of life. I need to know that I'm saved. I need to know that I am going to heaven. And so the Apostle John, as he writes this great book, he lays down various tests. I refer to this sometimes as the test of fellowship. The test of fellowship that really helps us determine our spiritual condition of knowing that we are experiencing the fullness of joy. Knowing that we are experiencing the forgiveness of God. Knowing that we are experiencing victory over the evil one. Knowing that we have assurance that we are going to be in heaven. Those tests of fellowship. That's John's immediate aim, to help us determine our spiritual condition. Do you realize as we study the Word of God, this is what God wants us to be doing? He wants us to be examining ourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5, we are commanded to examine ourselves. And do you realize through proper spiritual examination, it brings confidence, it brings assurance. And so what we'll be doing this morning, and Lord willing this evening, is we'll be looking at those tests of fellowship that help us determine our spiritual condition so that we can experience the things that we listed already in our lesson. And so let's begin here in 1 John chapter 1. If we are in fellowship with God, notice the first test of fellowship is walking in the light. If we are experiencing fellowship, the fullness of joy with God, forgiveness, victory, assurance, we're going to live a certain kind of life. John says we're going to walk in the light. Read the verse with me here in 1 John chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse number 5. This then is the message which ye have heard of Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, listen to the language, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now here, there's a little bit better translation of that verse number 6. We do not practice. I like that. We do not practice the truth. We'll come back to that probably this evening. But look at verse 7. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, there's our word again, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, as you think about what John is saying, there's a contrast between walking in the light and walking in darkness. Now, if we're in fellowship with God, this is the first test of fellowship. You're not going to be walking in darkness. You're going to be walking in the light. The question is, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to walk in the light? Well, first of all, the Apostle John is talking about a way of life. He's talking about a certain kind of life. Either we are walking in darkness, the domain of darkness, that we were delivered from when we obeyed the gospel, or we are walking in the light. Now, when you go back to verse number 6, I believe to me, just contextually, verse number 6 really answers the question, what it means to walk in the light. If you're walking in the light, you are practicing the truth. What does that mean? You are living according to the truth of God's Word. You're living in fellowship with God. In Amos 3, verse 3, the prophet Amos said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Listen, when we are walking in the light, if we're living the Christian life, we are walking with God. We are walking in fellowship with God. We're not living a lifestyle of darkness. We're not living in sin. We're not practicing sin. It's something that we will struggle with, and we'll come to that in our next point. But there is a huge difference between walking in the light and walking in darkness. Clay, how do I know that I'm walking in the light? Think about this and read this with me. How can we know that we're walking in the light? Well, first of all, if you're walking in the light, if you are living according to the truth of God's word, people in the world will think that you're strange. People in the world will see something different in you. And that brings assurance to us. When people see that difference, it reminds me that I'm walking in the light. Let me show you this. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And as you're turning over to 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm confident that most of us in here know passages like Romans 12 verses 1 through 2, where Paul says, "Be not conformed to this world." James 1 verse number 27, "We're to keep ourselves unspotted from this world." 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 and following, "We're not to be unequally yoked together with those who are in darkness." Be careful who you yoke yourself with. Read that context. I believe we understand that. Don't live like the world. And when we come out from among the world and we walk in the light, we're practicing the truth, people are going to see that. And this is how they're going to respond. Now, we're going to begin at 1 Peter chapter 4, so you can see the context. We're going to begin at verse number 1, but I want you to focus in on verse number 4. You'll see the point that I'm making. 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 through 4. Peter says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." Now, Peter talks about a lot about suffering in the flesh. Another sign that helps us determine that we are in fellowship with God. Because of the persecution. "Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." 2 Timothy 3, 12, verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. That's what it means to walk in the light. It means to live according to the will of God. "For time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness." That's what it means to walk in darkness. And no self-control. Walking in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries. That's what the world does. This is the way the world lives their life. It's one big party as you know it. Look at verse number 4 though. This is speaking about the world wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. Peter says the world is going to think you're strange, that there is something different because you don't do what the world is doing. That gives me confidence. That helps me to know that I am walking in the light. That's that first test of fellowship. How do I know that I'm maintaining fellowship with light, with God, experiencing the fullness of joy? How do I know that heaven will be my home because of the uncertainty of life? Because of the life that I'm living. I'm walking in the light. And the world will think that I'm strange, that I'm different. And we are different. We are children of God. We are to live a holy life. Look at another context in Ephesians chapter 5. There are many different contexts that we can look at that helps us to understand what it means to walk in the light. John says if we're walking in the light, we're practicing the truth. Well, look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now..." Paul's talking about their conversion. Before Christ, you were in darkness, but now... been a change of life. "But now ye are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Live as children of light. Look at verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You see, if I'm practicing the truth, Paul says, I'm bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit. Now, in the book of Galatians, Paul is going to give us a detailed list of what it means to walk in the Spirit, to bring forth fruit unto God. In Galatians 5, verse number 22, he's going to list out several things. He just mentions a few here, but if you want a longer list, read Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Another great context that will help you to determine whether or not you are walking in the light, practicing the truth, is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse number 5. Peter says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And then what does Peter do? Peter is going to list out several things. You add virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance. If these things are evident in our life, we are practicing the truth. Therefore, we are walking in the light. And as long as we are walking in the light, we have fellowship with God. And if we have fellowship with God, maintaining fellowship with God, then we can know that we are saved. We can know that we are experiencing the fullness of joy. We can know that God has forgiven us of our sin. We're in a right relationship. We have victory over the evil one. And I'm going to be with God in eternity. Assurance, comfort that I gain through the various tests of fellowship. Notice our second test of fellowship. That is, if I'm in fellowship with God, not only will I be walking in the light, but look at 1 John chapter 1. Read with me now verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, we make God a liar, and His Word is not in us. John is reminding us about the proper response to sin. Now that I'm a child of God, now that I'm walking in the light, oh, this right here is good stuff. John reminds me that sin is still something that I'm going to struggle with as a child of God. Even though I'm walking in the light, even though that I'm practicing the truth, here's the proper response to sin. Not you know what, now that I'm a child of God, I don't ever struggle with sin. I've got this. I'm never tempted. That is totally opposite of what the Holy Word of God teaches. In fact, if we come to that point, John says that we're not living according to the truth. We are not practicing the truth. And what we've done, 1 John 1, verse number 8, we've deceived ourselves. And that is something, according to Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10, we can do. We can deceive ourselves. We don't want to be deceived. That's why we're turning to the Word of God. That's why we are practicing self-examination. That's why we want to be aware of the sin that is before us, our sins. Let me tell you what John is talking about here in these verses and also other verses. Again, he's talking about a lifestyle of walking in the light. And as we follow that thought out from these verses, John is really talking about our attitude toward sin. Our attitude toward sin. What should our attitude be toward sin from these verses? Well, it should be this. Our attitude should be, sin is something that I still struggle with. It is. And I know you could say the same. It is still something that we struggle with. Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse number 41, "The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." That's why we struggle with sin. Because the flesh is weak. And the devil is the one that is tempting us. And we realize how easy it is to give into temptation. You know, James talks about that process of temptation in James chapter 1 when he says every man is tempted, is drawn away of his own lust. Do you realize that's what John is saying? Listen, you're going to be tempted by the evil one, the wicked one. The one that you overcome, he's still your enemy. He's still going to tempt you. But when you consider that process of temptation, John is saying there will be times that you give into that temptation. That's why we are to confess our sin, our attitude towards sin. Not that we don't sin, our attitude toward sin. Stop and think about sin for just a few minutes and how it applies to you, how it applies to me. According to Romans 3, verse number 23, we've all sinned, every one of us in here this morning. Those of us who are accountable to God, every one of us in here has transgressed God's law. Those who are accountable have struggled with sin. Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned." And so when I look at Romans 3, verse number 23, I realize that sin is a fact of my past. Do you hear that though? Sin is a fact of my past. You see, when I obey the gospel, contacting the blood of Jesus Christ, my past sins were washed away. And God says their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That's under the new covenant in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 12 through 13. We have the forgiveness of God. And that's what we read a few minutes ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, when Paul says, "And such were some of you." Well, what were they before Christ? You might be surprised when you read 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. They were some pretty filthy people. People who lived in sin. That was their way of life. But Paul says, you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified. The fact of our past. Now as I read the book of 1 John, if I have the right attitude towards sin, it will be a fight in the present. A fight. Now, as we look at this, John reminds us, sin is something that you still need to be aware of. It's something that you can deal with and maintain fellowship with God by confessing our sins. We'll come back to verse number 9. But it is something that we will struggle with. Let me show you this. Look at 1 John chapter 3. I think sometimes when we read 1 John 3, verse 6, verse 9, it kind of stops us in our tracks. And we might draw the conclusion that, is John making a contradiction here? Absolutely not. God's Word never contradicts itself. That's the first rule of hermeneutics. Okay, a little common sense. God's Word does not contradict itself. But when I go back to what we said in 1 John chapter 1, that Christianity is a way of life, and I follow that out, as I think about the second test of fellowship, it causes me to think about my attitude towards sin. It's a fact of my past. The blood of Jesus Christ has washed away my past sins. But now as I walk in the light, sin is still before me. Sin is something that I still struggle with. But I fight against it. And I believe there are two verses here in chapter 3 that really help us see that attitude that sin is a fight in the present. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse number 6. "Whosoever abideth in Him," listen to the language, "sinneth not." Sinneth not. Well, when I go back to 1 John, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves. When I read 1 John 3, well, if I'm abiding in the Lord, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth, hath not seen Him nor known Him. John says, as I abide in the Lord, I am not going to sin. Read it again with me. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Drop down to verse number 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Oh, there's no contradiction here. Here's the point John is making. As you strive to walk in the light, practicing the truth, sin is something that you will struggle with. But you're not walking in darkness. You're walking in the light. You're fighting against sin. 1 John 3, verse 6, verse 9 describes my lifestyle. I don't persistently live in sin. I struggle with sin, but I confess my sins. I confess that I struggle with sin. I confess that I mess up at times. That's 1 John 1, verse 9. You tie that into 1 John 3, verse 6, 1 John 3, verse 9. We don't persistently live in sin. It's an attitude toward sin. When I sin, I don't conceal my sin. I don't blame somebody else because of my sin. I don't ignore my sin. I don't cover it up. By the way, don't forget about the nature of sin, and that's the challenge. When we sin, sin seeks secrecy. We could try to cover it up. We can try to ignore it. John says if we're practicing the truth, we know sin is something that we're going to struggle with, but we don't persistently live in sin. When we sin, we confess our sins. And when we confess our sins, we see that we have continual forgiveness. By the way, this never stops. In fact, when you look at the language of 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, we keep on confessing our sins. And as we keep on confessing our sins, the blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing us from sin. That's why John says you don't persistently live in sin and ignore sin. You are confessing your sin. You realize that this attitude is even seen in the Old Testament? In Psalm 17, verse 3, David says these words, I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. An attitude. This is something that I have purposed to do. I am not going to sin with my tongue. Did he ever sin with his tongue? Absolutely. Do we struggle with the tongue? Absolutely. Read James chapter 3. Same idea. As long as we're in the flesh, you read through James chapter 3. The tongue is something that we will all struggle with as long as we are in the flesh. We're going to say things that we shouldn't say. But we're also going to confess those things that we shouldn't say. Father, please forgive me. Now, when it comes to sin, as we're walking in the light, remember our attitude. Sin's a fact of our past. Now it's a fight in the present. We're going to do one of two things with our sins that we struggle with. We'll conceal it or we'll confess it. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says, He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth them and forsaketh them shall have mercy. David said in Psalm 38, verse number 18, For I will declare my sins before you. I'll be sorry for my sins. The attitude that we need to have toward sin. I truly believe it is a test of fellowship. The Apostle John lays down these tests of fellowship that help us to determine our spiritual condition, whether or not we're maintaining fellowship with God. If we are maintaining fellowship with God by walking in the light, by confessing our sins, not ignoring, not denying, but confessing our sins, we can know. We can know that we're all right with God. We can know that we're going to go to heaven. We can know that we are in fellowship with God, which gives us confidence as we approach that day of judgment. I'll mention that tonight in our study. Confidence in the midst of judgment. The Apostle John is going to mention the kind of confidence that we can all have as we consider the various tests of fellowship. We've only highlighted two. And what you'll see the Apostle John doing is he'll highlight these tests of fellowship and then he's going to actually come back to them. And he's going to elaborate on them. I showed you a perfect example of this already this morning with sin. Notice how he mentions the struggle that we have with sin in 1 John chapter 1. Now he comes back to that subject in 1 John chapter 3, verse 6, verse 9. That's what John does with each subject that we'll talk about. As we walk in the light, as we practice the truth, John's going to come right back to that here in chapter 2, and he's going to talk about keeping the commandments of God. He's giving us more insight, more information, so that we will really understand what it means to be in fellowship with God. What is it that brings so much joy to our lives? What is it that causes us to have confidence as we live life here upon this earth? It's being in fellowship with God. Question is, are you in fellowship with God this morning? Have you obeyed the gospel? If you've never obeyed the gospel, we see that sin is something that separates us from God. Sin is something that makes us an enemy with God. But through Christ in His blood, we can have reconciliation according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 16. We have reconciliation through the blood of Christ. And when we obey the gospel, we're baptized into Christ, our sins are washed away. God's at work delivering us from the power of darkness, translating us into the kingdom. We mentioned that in Colossians 1, verse number 13. That means I become a part of Christ's church. The church that Jesus built, the church that Jesus died for, the church that He purchased with His own blood, it always comes back to the blood of Jesus Christ. If you never obeyed the gospel this morning, you can leave here being in fellowship with God by obeying the gospel. It might be that you've already done that. It might be that you've been struggling with your Christian life. If you stop and think about what we said this morning, there is no need to struggle any longer. Every one of us in here can leave with that blessed assurance that heaven is my home if I will strive to walk in the light, if I will have the right attitude toward my sin. If you need to confess sin, God is ready to hear your voice. And God encourages us at times to confess our sins even in a public way, according to James chapter 5, verse number 16. We want you to know that the Lord's invitation is open to anyone. What God wants more than anything is for you to be saved, for you to go to heaven and be with Him in eternity. I hope this morning every one of us in here will really put into practice what we talked about. Let's be sure we are examining ourselves so we can know. We can help you this morning. Won't you please?